Oh, but anyhow, I know that most of you already know this gentleman, and if you don't, get ready, because he's a great man. And that's our gentleman right here.
You forgot Bill. My name, right?
Oh, what? You forgot it?
You forgot my name?
You forgot your name? I'm sorry, honey. I'll give it to you.
All right. You ready?
Yeah.
Yay, let's welcome Bill!
Woo!
Bring it up. I'm undignified, too.
He just wanted to prove he remembered his name.
All right. Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Nice. I like a crowd that's alive. So deep down in my heart, I'm kind of a nerd and a geek.
Yeah.
And are there any other... and I'm proud of it. Are there any other kind of nerdy people here? People are interested in kind of quirky things, and maybe you see the world a little bit differently. Have you ever seen a show? Have you ever gone to a show and the show has struck you in an unusual way that you did not expect? Has that ever happened to anybody here? You go in and you go like, wow, what just happened to me in there? Don't leave yet. Okay, thanks. So how many of you like documentaries? I'm at home. I'm surrounded by nerds and little geeks. I love documentaries. I always seem like the most oddest documentaries. I always seem to learn something, get fascinated, and just find delight in them. And I recently saw a documentary called "Won't You Be My Neighbor?" Has anybody heard of that?
Yeah.
Beautiful. If you don't know what that's about, that's based on the life of Mr. Rogers. Is anybody here unfamiliar with Mr. Rogers? It's okay if you are. Mr. Rogers had a TV show that was on PBS, public broadcasting stations, and it was a children's show. And he initially aired in 1963, and he did not air his TV show nationally at first. He started very, very tiny in Pennsylvania someplace. I think it was in Pittsburgh. And over a period of time, he really came to grow, and he became a national phenomenon. You may remember Mr. Rogers, that he would come into his set every day, and he would take off. He would go to the closet. He would open the door, and he would put on a sweater, hang up his jacket, and then he would sit there with children. And the whole show was geared towards very, very young children. And he was exemplified love, and he exemplified acceptance. And it was all based on, no matter what you look like or where you're at in life, won't you be my neighbor? It was honoring children exactly for their God spirit and who they were. So I've never saw the show growing up, but it became incredibly popular. And it ran from 1963 to 2001, which is a heck of a run. So those are all kind of just factual types of things. But here's the spiritual things that I never expected to get out of Mr. Rogers and just blow me away. So I want to ask each and every one of you, if you have a passion, and that passion is your soul and your voice speaking to you now, can that lead you to your life's purpose? And if that led you truly to your life's purpose, how many lives would you affect? So let's take a look at that with Mr. Rogers. Sounds interesting, huh? My fellow geeks, let's get it on. So Mr. Rogers was preparing to go to the seminary, and he wanted to become a minister. I did not know this. Ultimately, in his life, he did become a minister. But one day, his parents bought a television set, which was not every household had one back then. You got to figure the late 50s, right? And he started watching TV. And back then, there was probably only two or three stations. And what he noticed was that it was wasteful. It was used to entertain children in a very wasteful and kind of hideous way. in which it was all slapstick comedy. They would throw pies in each other's faces or squirt them with water or just have kind of like stuff that didn't really edify but made people laugh. It was slapsticky type of humor. And he's sitting there and he was saying, why can't this tool be used in a different fashion? And I want to say that that was probably the ignition or the flashpoint of his passion. And I really want you to think about this, that each and every one of us here has a flashpoint of our passion. And this was probably in him for a long period of time. But it wasn't until the catalyst of watching this on TV that lit something in him that said, maybe we should do something just a little bit different. So I want spiritually to implant the thought in your mind, what could you do a little bit different about something that's already talking to you in your heart? A while back ago, I was speaking here, and I talked about that whatever you are seeking is seeking you. And I still firmly believe that, George. I'm becoming more and more like Millie all the time. So he started looking at this, and he started getting together, and he started making a very simple TV show in Pittsburgh. And what ended up happening was it was the opposite of what would lead to success in television. There was no fancy staging. There was no great music. There was nothing. It was kind of like a room and a stool, and he would sit down and talk to kids. Well, I really believe that that was, God put that in his heart. And that started to light up. And it started to get a little bit more popular. Now, mind you, this is pre-internet, pre-cable TV, radios and TVs went off at night. You know, a lot of differences from today. This lady in Boston heard about him and invited Mr. Rogers to come to Boston to bring the show there. So he went to Boston. Synchronicity. We have a thought, a passion. We have an idea. We verbalize it. We take an action. All of a sudden, Spirit says, I'm going to help you because you're living. You're starting to live. You're starting to move. You don't know where this is going. Can anybody relate to this? Has any of this type of stuff happened in your life? You start moving. You don't know where life's going to take you, but you keep moving. So he goes to Boston. And he's thinking, well, I'm kind of like a nobody. And when he gets to Boston, the strangest thing happened. There were people lined up in the rain for blocks and blocks and blocks. I don't know how they heard about Mr. Rogers and how he became so popular. And there was kids there for days to try and get in to see his show and to be with Mr. Rogers. Because he was doing something so different. He was attracting families and children based on the sole premise of love and respect and honoring the child for who the child was and is as a person in their godlike representation. That was his ministry. And he never once verbalized that as a ministry. However, that's exactly what he was doing. He did not become a minister in the fashion of standing in front of a pulpit speaking. He became a minister because of his passion, put that into effect, and suddenly he was discovered. But he would have continued to do this in Pittsburgh had nobody even discovered him. And that brings me to the point. What puts that passion, what puts that idea inside of our minds? And then where does the synchronicity come from? That what he was seeking him so strongly that before he knew where he was going, the supply to his demand was already met. He just couldn't see it. He didn't know it was there. But suddenly he started to come up and people noticed that he was there. The interesting thing is this is a point where most people might stumble and fumble, get a little notoriety, you know, they get a little bit of a name, suddenly they got to create their websites, hand out their cards, get their 800 numbers, you know, paid appearances. He never veered from what his true mission was, which was the purpose of just treating you like a child and honoring the child within you. Because in his era, in his day, much like today, children were supposed to be seen and not heard. They didn't have a place to go with their hurt feelings. They couldn't express what was going on. And more than likely, the whole act of trying to be a bully or trying to blend in was more important. And if you look at it today, in this room full of children, older children, we still have those habits. Those habits that we got when we were children and when we were growing up are still within us to this very day. And this is what Mr. Rogers was trying to teach each and every one of us, was that you are more. You are more than what people tell you to be. Interesting question to take home with you tonight is, if you removed every label that you ever had in your life, I'm a doctor, I'm a nurse, I'm a housewife, I'm a pediatrician, I'm a drunk, I'm an alcoholic, I take drugs, it could be I'm good looking, I'm skinny, I'm fast. If you took away every single thing that everybody has labeled upon you, which you have attached to yourself through your own belief systems and called that ego, that's who my personality is, and if you were to eliminate all those things, who would you be? Think about that every day. If I'm not this, who am I? And I believe that this was what Mr. Rogers was trying to put in children. Who are you? Your love, your acceptance, your kindness, your representation of God. You're innocent, you're pure, you're not born in an original sin, and you're acceptable and lovable. Imagine if all of us could forget who we think we are and become who we really are. Mr. Rogers had a powerful ministry. So you can see how I walked out of this movie theater. I was like, whoosh, this is more than a movie. 1 second. Okay, where am I? Okay, the other thing that I thought spiritually that I really liked about this movie was Mr. Rogers worked in the silence and he worked in the spaces. If I was to become quiet up here, eventually some of you might become nervous. Because you want to fill that gap. You need to hear the noise. When Mr. Rogers would come onto the set, oftentimes there was long periods of silence. A lot of it was just him walking onto the set. That doesn't make very exciting television today. And he would hang up his clothes. And he would change his shoes. And put on his comfy shoes. And then he would walk down and sit down in front of the kids, and the kids would all lean forward. And the sets weren't flashy, and there was no pyrotechnics, there was no blaring music. And that's what made the show special. He allowed the connection and the existence of the personality to come together without transference of any information at all. He was just being. It's powerful stuff to sit in the silence. Mr. Rogers was more concerned with the moments of life rather than the clutter of life. Think about how much clutter you allow in your life all the time. Do you have to have your phone in your hand all the time? Do you have to have the radio on all the time? Do you have to have the TV on? Do you have to be looking for the next form of entertainment? Because I will tell you, Mr. Rogers allowed himself and the children, he gave them a tremendous gift. He allowed them to be with themselves. How much do you love yourself to allow yourself to be with yourself? Pretty heavy movie, huh? Very good movie, though. What a minister this guy was. I was just floored by what he took out. And Mickey thought I was just eating popcorn.
I heard you snore.
Here's another interesting thing that I found that Mr. Rogers did that I had no idea about. He addressed the issues of the day with the children. There are many times that we are afraid to speak to our friends, our spouses, our children about the issues of the day. And yet, these little beings are incredibly intuitive and have unbelievable perception and emotion, and they register mommy's vibe and daddy's vibe all the time, and they react to it, and they shift with it, and they change with it. Mr. Rogers, and we're talking like little peewee kids, 3-4 years old, he would talk about the JFK assassination with them. Not in the way that you would talk to an adult, but he actually sat down and addressed it on TV with children. He talked about divorce. Sometimes mommies and daddies get to a point where they can't live together. And so rather than children not being able to really talk about that or the issues being hidden at home, he gave them a safe space to cry. He talked with the deeply infirmed, the permanently disabled children. And there was a real special part of the show where this kid was on. And Mr. Rogers just gave him time, and he talked to him, and the little kid's in a wheelchair. And he said to him, "I'm sure there are days that you feel blue." And the little boy all hooked up, and he goes, "Yes, there are many days that I feel blue." Acknowledging where a heart may be in that moment gives that person importance. And the beautiful thing was that he sat there with them for a few minutes, and he goes, "But today is not one of those days, right?" And the little boy just smiled big, and he goes, "No, it isn't." Even when you're sick, even when you're down, even when the world thinks you're handicapped, it doesn't mean that your spirit is handicapped. If you're acknowledged as a human being, as a child of God, you could be having a good day too. And you could make room for somebody who you may think is handicapped. Give them enough room to show you how human they really are. You may be surprised, and you may give yourself a good day too. The other thing that blew me away about Mr. Rogers was he was a very, very intimate person. He had friends of different races, and they were on his show. Different sexualities, and they were on his shows. One of the things that he did was quite remarkable. They were showing a clip of racism in the United States where there was some black kids in a swimming pool, and the white adults came in and poured, I don't know what it was, I can't remember right now, like acid or alcohol or whatever into the swimming pool to kick them out. Segregation. Mr. Rogers set up a swimming pool on his set, a little swimming pool. And his best buddy, who was on the show for years and years and years, who was gay, who was a black man, and he invited him to go swimming. And in silence, They took off their shoes, their socks. They rolled up their pants legs, and they sat at the edge of this little pool, and they stuck their legs in the pool, and they just sat there like friends. This is in the 60s. How lovely is that? Yo-Yo Ma is a world-renowned cellist. I'm sure if you don't listen to him, I'm sure you've heard some of his pieces at any one point. Yo-Yo Ma was on Mr. Rogers' show quite often. And Yo-Yo Ma said in the interviews, he was intimate in the way animals are intimate. He said, when I was on the set and we would go to silence, Mr. Rogers would bring his chair as close to this as Yo-Yo Ma, and he would just lean in and he would stare at him. Makes you uncomfortable, doesn't it? You're beautiful. And Yo-Yo Ma said, oh my gosh, this is exactly how animals greet each other. A horse doesn't go up to a horse and stick its hoof out. Hello there, over. You know, gophers don't come by and high-five each other. Dogs, what do? They all put their heads together. They're close. They sniff. They get in there. And he goes, they show love. Birds rub their beaks together. I kiss George's, the top of George's head. You know, you got to get in there. Go get yourself some. Don't be afraid. Send you up, George. But the beautiful thing about that is, as a human being, one of the highest things that we crave, that people say, is they want a partner. They want intimacy. They want to be known. But yet they're so afraid to give somebody else the space or them to be a leader and show that space. Think about that. How that fits into your ministry. You don't have to go kiss George's head or rub beaks with a bird, but you get the point. You got to make the space. You got to unclutter. You have to be quiet and not talk about yourself. You got to give room for the other person to identify and see the other person. And Yo-Yo Ma said it used to blow him away because Mr. Rogers would lean in and he would say to him all the time, I'm so glad to be with you. That was the extent of their conversation. And Yo-Yo Ma, who has performed on stages all across the planet to thousands and thousands and thousands of people, carries that story with him today. I am so glad to be with you. Good stuff, huh? So how does the synchronicity show up in our lives? You can Google this. He started a club called the 143 Club, 143. Anybody know that fact? John, you probably saw the movie. The 143 Club, because it takes one letter to say I, one. It takes four letters to say love, love. It takes three letters to say you. So the club was I Love You Club, which is still in existence today as a charitable foundation. The interesting thing about Mr. Rogers, if you remember him and you could see him in your mind's eye, he was a very thin man. Well, he used to swim all the time. He was an avid swimmer. And for the last 33 years of his life, every day he would get out of the pool, get on the scale, and he weighed 143 pounds for 33 years. He was living his mission. He was I Love You in his heart, in his life, and in his physicality. And he prided himself on that. He didn't have to diet or anything like that. He prided himself as like, bam, I love you. There it is. That's pretty cool stuff, I think. That's pretty cool stuff. You could talk about your parking angels all day long, and your I saw 777s on the license plate and all this other stuff. But when you weigh 143 pounds every day for 33 years, I'll high-five you then. Now, of course, Mr. Rogers, similar to all people who do good work, had his detractors. Because no matter what you do in life, people are going to give you a hard time. And people are going to gossip. Happens in churches, happens in families, happens in business. No matter where you go, happens all the time. And he had his rough times too. And people said a lot of really nasty stuff about him at times. And it really reminds me of the words of Jesus that in this world you will have trials and tribulations. You know, it's just going to happen. It's the nature of the beast. God gave us free will, and we got to deal with free will. Not only ours, but those of other people around us. And so near the end of his life, he was really debilitating. I forgot what kind of cancer he had. He was getting close to being in a coma. And he was falling into long periods of solitude in which he was reviewing his life. And I guess that's normal for all of us, right? Human. We look back and we say, what did I do? What could I have done better? And there's a story in the Bible that talks about at the day of judgment that God will separate the sheep and the goats. And they interviewed his wife, and she was saying, you know, he seriously was asking me on his comatose deathbed type of conditions, do you think I'm a goat, or do you think I may have be a sheep? You know, I think that's the humility of servitude. I don't think he was looking for a compliment. I think that's a servant's heart. That really, with deep introspection, looks at himself and says, at the beginning of my journey, I said, what more can I do better for children? What more can I do better to exemplify God? At the end of his journey, he was wondering the same thing. Have I done enough? Have I done enough? I would say that's pretty powerful. He showed his intimacy, his vulnerability, his passion, his mission, synchronicity of events, his stick-to-itiveness, and he gave the gift of saying that he still wanted to be with you and he wanted to see you as you were. And so I would say, go see the movie. And if you don't have a chance to see the movie, that's quite all right. I think we've discussed enough points that I say that tonight. I just give you the best shot of being your neighbor tonight. And so I really thank you for this time, and I hope you take the love of Mr. Rogers and let it grow in your heart. Blessings to all.
Wonderful, isn't he?